Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Well, today we got lucky. I sent an email out last night, and we managed to grab Scott Bach, Executive Director of ANJRPC, NRA board member.
Greetings.
And Darren Goins is back from NRA, and he's got some reports to talk about federal and state level of what's going on. So, Darren, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good. So, Darren, before we have some state issues we're going to discuss in a little bit, but update us first on federal and post-election meeting you went to and what's going on. But tell everybody what you do first.
Yeah, Darren Goins.
Your wife will know. If she listens to the show, she'll know what you do for a living.
Right. Stay in hotels professionally.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I actually, fresh off the road, I just got back from Virginia last night. I'm the state lobbyist for NRA, as some may or may not know, and Scott and I had a busy, well, probably 2 or 3 week stretch working on this gun range / Caputo bill. But in the meantime, we had a huge outpouring of members calling, and we were able to get that bill shelved, and Scott's going to go more into detail on that. But
I think we have to let everybody know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
No one knows.
Oh, no one knows.
No one knows.
Well, apparently 4,000 people know.
There are 4,000 people, yes, who know.
We're talking about two assembly bills that came up in the last few weeks that were a huge threat to ranges and everyone who uses them. We'll get into that in detail later, but that's the big picture. A4179 and A4180.
He's always throwing numbers.
Sorry, I always put the horse before the cart.
So. No, that's okay. Sorry.
So I was bringing that up because that bill was scheduled on Monday, and I was going to be delayed going down to headquarters by a day, but we were able to get that bill at least temporarily shelved. So I went down to Virginia for our post... I shouldn't even say post-election meeting. We get together. We have lobbyists from all over the country, and some of them live in their regions. There's a few of them like me. So it's the one time a year we at NRA all get together and discuss how things went this year and, more importantly, where we're going for next year. So this year, obviously, there was a lot to talk about given it was a presidential election year, the things that were at stake in terms of control of both houses of Congress and the Supreme Court. So, as I was telling Anthony a little bit earlier, people were in good spirits going into Christmas. Things turned out, at least if you're a gun owner, fairly good. But part of those meetings, Chris Cox sat in, and we had an opportunity to bring some things up with him. And there I am in the back of the room and throw my hand up and bring New Jersey. And one of the things that I said is, unfortunately, the folks in New Jersey, and actually a couple other states too, to be completely fair, haven't really had an opportunity to share in this victory lap, because even though we're probably going to get a couple good justices, we held on to Congress, we have somebody other than Hillary Clinton in the White House, folks in New Jersey, we wake up every day and we're still living under the same old laws.
Right.
And I brought that up with Chris, and he responded very, very well, I thought, to it. And I mean, one of the points he made is, for all the things that we accomplish in other states, in the pro-gun states, it's sort of one more little thing. But he said he would trade that any day than to wake up and not have to read these stories about, you know, the California gun bills or the things we face in New Jersey. He said that, you know, those defeats hit home especially hard. So that brings up, you know, what, you know, and I raise this issue. So, you know, where does that leave us? Where, you know, I mean, I think a lot of our members are resigned to the fact that one of the biggest, probably the only chance for some relief up here, and I live here, so I live under all the same draconian gun laws, is through litigation. And, there's a lot at play there because it's going to take a long time to get these Supreme Court justices on the bench. I mean, and that was raised in the meeting, that the first year or so of this presidency is going to be consumed with just getting people put in place and appointed, all these confirmation hearings. And then when that's done, we're going to need a case that has a strong fact pattern, because we don't want to bring cases forward that lose or aren't granted cert. So it's not what I'm telling you is it's not going to be an overnight relief. The other one that obviously has garnered a ton of attention that we talked about extensively was national reciprocity.
Yeah, I want you and Scott to chime in on that, because there is that bill by, who's it, Cronin? That's the bill that has the best shot, right?
Yeah.
Cronin. So we'll get Darren, take over.
Yeah, so national reciprocity, and obviously a lot of our members have been going crazy, and not just in the states behind the iron wall like us. There are folks in pro-gun states that are very consumed with that, albeit for a little bit of a different reason. I mean, we want it here because we don't have carry, and that would provide an avenue to perhaps getting carry. The people in pro-gun states want it because some of them travel all over the country, and they just want it so that they don't have to go through a patchwork when they're so for multiple reasons, our folks are very interested in national reciprocity. Now, the thing is, again, we met with our entire federal lobbying team, too, and they said, again, it's hard to urge people to be patient because we are actually getting a lot of phone calls and people excited and asking questions. But you got to remember that the Senate has not changed its rules yet. We still have the 60 threshold to overcome. And if you recall, we actually lost a couple seats in the U.S. Senate with Kirk in Illinois and Ayotte in New Hampshire. I guess it's escaping now, but I know we lost a few seats. So that 60 threshold is going to be tough to get. Now, that could all change once we get into the appointment process as far as, if the Democrats are blocking a lot of these appointments, then maybe you go back to the old Harry Reid rule and use the nuclear option. So.
Well, we're going to talk about this more when we come back, both you gentlemen.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
What's a barrel shroud and why should we regulate?
I actually don't know what a barrel shroud is.
Okay,
I think it's a shoulder thing that goes up.
No.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites. LibertyOfficeSuites.com has two locations, one in Montville, New Jersey, one on New Road in Parsippany. Ron Sousa has tons of offices, private offices, furnished, that you can rent, telephone, answering machine, forwarding, meeting rooms, and the ability to hold seminars for up to 70 people. Check out LibertyOfficeSuites.com. And thank Ron Sousa for everything he does. He just let the Saw Group, Sherry and Sandy and everybody else, have their annual Christmas party or year-end party at his place, and he didn't charge them. Support those who support us. And Ron Sousa, now that you're engaged, please let us know when you set a date. Everybody wants to know.
Nice.
So, guys, we're coming back to this now. A lot of people have been talking about national reciprocity. We've seen an increase in people getting their Utah and Florida carry permits, non-resident, and we're telling them straight out that at this moment, they will do zero to help you if a national reciprocity law is pushed, because we don't want to false represent here. But people are still taking the classes. They're like, I don't care. I want to get it anyway in case there is a chance. So what do you have to say, Scott?
Well, before we pop the champagne corks in New Jersey about, I mean, if the bill passed tomorrow, New Jersey gun owners and gun owners in a few other states would be in for a rude awakening. There have been two bills that have historically been proposed on national right to carry reciprocity. One is, I call it one-way reciprocity. The other is full reciprocity. The one-way reciprocity is the one that will survive a challenge easily, and so that's the one that has the most support currently. That's the one that's likely to pass. And what it says is, if you have a carry permit from your home state, then you can carry anywhere else in the United States. But what it doesn't say is that if you're a New Jersey resident, for example, that you can get
a Virginia permit
with a Virginia non-resident or a Florida or Utah or wherever, that you can carry in New Jersey. And in fact, it specifically is the opposite of that. And again, the reason for this is something that's been an irritant to me for years, is that The one-way reciprocity is clearly constitutional and clearly will survive a constitutional legal challenge. The other interferes with states' rights.
Right.
Okay, the ability of a state to control how it regulates its citizens, it's a two-step process. So the theory is, or you know, my working assumption is, you get the first less robust reciprocity in, and then you have a situation where people from Florida have more rights in New Jersey than New Jerseyans
do.
And then you pursue either litigation or another angle and incrementally work up to it. Listen, there's clearly the one-way carry is the one that has the most support and is the one that is the most likely to pass. The two-way is much less likely to pass. If it did pass, it might not survive a challenge, and it would kill both one way and two way. So this is, right. You know, this is going to be a long haul, and we should not be mistaken about that. I also wanted to just throw in some other things I've been hearing about, short of litigation, not just on carry, but on New Jersey style regulation generally. And that is, you know, the federal government has the power of the purse, and that can be very influential in terms of what municipalities and states, what jurisdictions do, right? And so there is some speculation that a Trump administration might use the power of the purse to withhold funds from states or jurisdictions that do the kinds of things that New Jersey does. Just, you know, theoretically, we have gun ownership here. Theoretically, we have right to carry here. But in point of fact, the Second Amendment's been slowed down to it's been narrowed to a tiny thing, and it's slowed down to a trickle, the exercise of Second Amendment rights. And so, you know, this is one other aspect short of litigation that could actually just cut right through it. You know, let's see what happens to Senator Weinberg when federal funding, or if federal funding is cut off that New Jersey relies upon.
And he's got the stones to do it. Let's face it. Everything Trump has been doing so far, for someone who is a capitalist at heart, the people that he's been appointing to his cabinet, he's like, who hates the EPA the most? Okay, good. He's going to be the head of environmental protection. Like, unbelievable. You know, labor and everything. If we could get rid of so many of these crappy regulations and the high corporate tax that we pay in this country, we really might make America great again. Let's face it. So Darren, so it's positive stuff. We know that the Super PAC donated $25 to $30 million to Trump. We know Trump is very loyal to those who are loyal to him. And I was down in, where were we this year? Louisville, Kentucky was the annual meeting?
Yes.
We were outside. I was smoking a cigar. Saw the Trump plane landing in the distance. And then he came and he spoke. And I know we all have high hopes for him. And what else do you see, you and Scott together? So this national reciprocity, so it always falls down to FU New Jersey. I mean, we know that, right? But it's gonna put a lot of pressure, I think, Scott, on local and state legislators, because we're going to see other states enjoying these benefits, you know, with national reciprocity.
Clearly. I mean, I think the most immediate impact we're going to see is Justice Scalia is going to be replaced probably rapidly with a pro-Second Amendment conservative justice. And during his tenure, Trump could appoint as many as three or four other Supreme Court justices, which would set us up, you know, for the next 40 to 50 years. I mean, again, it's not going to be instant gratification, I'm sorry to say, because remember, even the Scalia court didn't take a right to carry case.
Yes.
Okay, so that probably means that we don't have the same 5-4 majority that we did in Heller and McDonald just ratifying the right itself. You know, there are different subsets of the right, and they may not have the same support in the court. So, you know, for example, like the timing, Darren was talking about, you know, the right timing of a case is going to be when we know we have the votes to win it. So,
and you know, when you say that we're going to replace Scalia quickly or relatively quickly, that is very relative, because by the time this realistically plays out, I mean, you're talking 7 months to a year, I would say, maybe even longer, and then you start getting into two or three appointments. Plus, there's a lot on the table here. I mean, he's vowed to, if not completely repeal, significantly gut Obamacare. There's going to be a lot of controversial issues on the docket, which is going to slow all of this stuff around. So I think that the common message that Scott and I have are, people are going to, I mean, I hate, you know, constantly saying this, but you're going to have to exercise a lot of patience, because this isn't going to be overnight gratification. But I also tell people, just remember, at least the ship is going this way. I mean, if this election outcome would have been differently, we'd be talking about not only the bad things that we have in New Jersey, but then piling on at the federal level, and the Supreme Court changing, putting Heller at risk. So, I mean, at least we're moving with incremental approaches that may take some time. But the thing that we really avoided was the devastating, you know, the death blow of if this election would have went the other way
around. What difference does it make?
Death blow to freedom itself.
Yes.
What difference does it make?
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports, so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house, with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids, and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids, and they'll do a handoff.
To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
For most purposes, having these magazine clips that have more than 15 rounds in them, there's really no purpose for those except for shooting targets or shooting people.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And our newest sponsor, County Line Firearms, has a website. CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com. CountyLineFirearmsNJ.com. They're on 393 Route 10 in East Hanover, directly across the street from the Best Buy. They're in the same building as the check cashing place next
and,
to Starbucks.
And more importantly,
what?
Pancake House?
Oh, no, that's Gun Sitter. Shut up.
But they're right up the street.
Okay, well, after you stop, when we get the Gun Sitters, we'll talk about
it. Did somebody say pancakes?
Shh. So check out Carlos Negron at Gun Sitters, at County Line Firearms. Thanks, Sandy.
You're welcome.
And Sherry Spivak is working there part-time, too. So, you know, support those who support us and stop in and check these guys out and let us know what you think. Guys, go back into it. You want to go back into national? You want to go into the state? Whatever, we're here for you.
Yeah, I think we're ready to talk about what's been going on in Jersey the last few weeks. So I think most of your listeners know we just put off one of the worst attacks.
No, they don't. They have no idea.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the worst.
You know. What,
okay.
The people who got email blasts from NRA and whatnot do, but the rest of the listeners don't.
Okay. So here's the deal. Okay. There were two pieces of legislation that suddenly were about to move, and these are legislation that's been described as the worst bills, the worst threats to gun rights since 1991, which was our assault firearms ban.
Yeah.
Basically, just to describe them in a nutshell, they threatened the very existence of ranges themselves and also affected every single gun owner that uses a range. So this is legislation that managed to touch every range and every gun owner in the state of New Jersey. And this was styled as suicide prevention litigation, legislation as originally written. But in point of fact, it had very little to do with it. What these two bills said were, number one, if you're a gun owner, before you could use your own firearms at a range, you would have to display your New Jersey firearms credentials to the range owner or operator before you could use your own gun. And then there's a second bill that said that if you want to transfer your firearm to someone else, if you want to use someone else's gun, or if you want to transfer your gun to someone else.
Hey, Scott, try my Glock.
Exactly. Both of you would have to display your credentials to the range owner or operator as well, plus photo ID.
So what's the problem with that?
Yeah, well, if you don't think about it at first, you go, okay, well, you know, well, there's a number of problems with it, okay? One of them is 95% of ranges are not staffed.
Right.
So what that means is if there's no one to check your credentials, all shooting activity on those ranges stop. They can't happen unless you have the firearms ID police there checking it. And most ranges are, you have a key.
Right.
Right?
Key fob. Okay. Yeah, let you in.
But, and is it just me, or does this strike anybody as a little bit ironic that the same folks that are introducing this legislation will allow you to vote without an ID.
Oh, no,
that's you got to show
thing.
An ID.
It's a whole different thing.
Have a card where you're fingerprinted to use a gun range. I mean, it's the hypocrisy.
It's interesting, too,
we all know what the end run is. Yes. I mean, yeah. Use it under the auspice of protecting us and range owners and patrons. Now we can stop no more diversity shoots, no more female right. shoots, no more kid programs, no more gun days, no more days at ANGRP at Central Jersey. It's all done.
No more
all
training.
Done.
As originally written, no more training.
No more training.
Because, I mean, first of all,
how could you?
How many people come into the state of New Jersey to do training or competition who don't have those credentials?
Right.
Right?
Most.
So you're shutting down, you're excluding, I don't know the percentage, Anthony, you would know better than I do, massive percentage of people who come into the state for competition, training, events, family day, youth day, whatever events you run here. And I mean, the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs would be affected too. Our family day, okay? Our range guests. Range,
absolutely.
You can't bring a
bring
gun
a range
shoot.
Guest,
but,
right.
but other some hidden impacts, okay, where you see the state shooting itself in the foot, it also would have shut down, as originally written, would have shut down hunter education.
Yep.
Because in New Jersey, when you go through a hunter ed class that's given by the state, you have to do a shooting exercise at the end. And guess what? The state of New Jersey supplies guns to people who don't have them. Believe it or not, yes, that's true. Okay. And
I wonder if Loretta knows about that.
So if somebody taking hunter ed didn't have one of these credentials, they couldn't pass the
right.
hunter ed class.
And if you're 12 years old, you can't get a New Jersey firearms ID.
There you go. There you go. And
so,
the state, well, there was actually a youth exemption, believe it or not.
Okay.
Not
well,
an adult
well,
exemption, a no, youth exemption
course,
in the bill
so.
Because it was so carefully thought out.
Yes.
Okay. So it also would have affected military and law enforcement as originally written. Okay. Unless military and law enforcement had their New Jersey credentials, which, by the way, they don't. In fact, they're specifically exempted from having those credentials under New Jersey law. And, for example, law enforcement, their active ID is their basis for owning, possessing, and carrying firearms, right? Military don't, they're exempt as well.
Right.
And there are other classes of people. So this thing was a giant piece of nonsense. Now, just get the premise behind this, right? You have an FID card, that means you're not a suicide risk.
Right.
Because you got a piece of paper.
And for the odd number of suicides using firearms at firearms ranges throughout the entire country,
we're going to impact a million people.
Millions of people shoot every year.
The notion that if you have this piece of paper from New Jersey that you're not going to get depressed
or you might not
become depressed in the future is absurd.
Absolutely.
It's not going to impact suicide one bit. Okay, you know,
this is the same mentality, Scott, that says that if someone is threatening your life, that you get a restraining order, and that restraining order is also a piece of paper, and that stops people. We know, of course, that stops people from doing harm.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the thing is, someone who's going to commit suicide is going to do it whether they're doing it at a range or not.
So,
they'll take a bottle of pills, they'll jump off a bridge.
Yeah, I mean, the logic of this is, well, you have a driver's license. That's going to stop you from jumping off the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah, Gary Guerin said, well, once you get your driver's license, then you don't have accidents anymore.
Right.
Right? So, guys, we heard that. Now, tell everybody how nationally and statewide have the NRA, ANGRPC, and our community, what we did. Tell everybody, you guys share that. I'm going to sit here and take a nap.
All I'm going to say, and Darren will fill in the details, is there was spontaneous combustion among gun owners.
We broke the internet.
Okay. The minute the alerts went out, Darren, you want to fill in the details on that? It was huge.
Sometimes the internet is breakable.
So,
Scott and I put together the alerts for the State Association and for NRA, and obviously encouraged people to call. And this was clearly an issue that resonated with people, that fired people up, and they responded. They answered the bell and sent, in some cases, even, I guess, faxes, but emails, phone calls, and faxes. And I
think people still have faxes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The technology is pretty evolved. But, you know, we're able to track through our system, you know, roughly how many emails went. And it was over 37,000 emails. And I think each member of the committee roughly got about 3,700.
Do we know what the
that's just NRA.
That's just NRA. Yeah.
That's not ANJRPC, not independent stuff.
Not the Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, not NSSF and every other group that was affected by this.
And they responded also, too, right, or no?
Oh, you better believe it.
I mean, it's there get to be so much. What happens is, as you can imagine, it's not so much on our end, but on the state's end, when the Capitol starts getting that kind of volume, their server can only handle... delivering so much.
Do we know what the open rate was? Do you guys know what the open rate was?
Our techies probably do, to be honest.
It was our highest open rate. ANJRPC is our highest open rate ever.
I mean, I just know that at...
Holy crap. Wait a minute. This is Scott Bach. Technology is... He's got an answer for me.
I know because I saw it on my BlackBerry.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. He's got an answer for me. The NRA does not have an answer. Okay.
I go to somebody and I just say, I get the big picture, like how many went?
It would be interesting to find out. You know, I mean, because if Scott's stuff got through, there's always a way to shut down that stuff to reroute it.
And I can answer that a little bit. I mean, we get a warning. I don't know who from or how, but that I think what happens is when our system starts getting kickbacked emails, we know that we're crashing their system. So you have to pause. We have to pause it.
Right. So you can slam them again once it opens up.
So people were pissed. People went to Caputo's office.
Unlike New Jersey too.
Who's Caputo? Assemblyman Ralph Caputo, 28th district. I think.
I don't know. His office is on Franklin Street in Belleville. People went there. They posted online. They walked into the office and said, "What are you doing?" They called. They emailed.
Was there a response from his office?
And they said at the end they were saying that the people answering the phones there must be on their third martini by now because they were getting bombarded. But
and from what I understand, and I don't know if I could, I can't elaborate on this, but from what I understand, and this is again just rumor. This bill wasn't even written by Caputo, but was written by a receptionist in his office.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Okay. Scott can't confirm or deny that. Anyway.
I mean, this is how legislation is written in New Jersey, is what I'm getting to.
Well, because somebody gets a wild hair up their ass.
And correct. For whatever reason, it's the cause celeb, and anyone can write a bill, apparently. I wonder who writes Loretta Weinberg's bills. Maybe it's a janitor, you think?
The Office of Legislative Services writes all bills in accordance with the instructions of the legislators.
That's true. Great. That's true. Wonderful. That's good. Your tax dollars at work. Okay, so anybody propose a bill, we're gone.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices. No interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
But some of these bullets, as you saw, have an incendiary device on the tip of it, which is a heat-seeking device. So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
And this segment is brought to you by Gun Sitters, which is beneath the original Pancake House.
Yes, sir. Home of the Dutch Baby.
It's 831B Route 10 East in Whippany. Gunsitters.com. They also own the company Weapons Guard. Remember, if you're moving, going through a divorce, there's a threat of a domestic, you have kids getting in trouble with the law, put your guns in Gun Sitters. It's the only option you have in the state of New Jersey. Weapons Guard.
Stop in at the Pancake House.
And stop in at the Pancake House. Weapons Guard, if you're in the military and you're deploying or being transferred, Weapons Guard will hold your guns for free so you don't have to sell them or give them up. If you're going to being deployed in a state or move to a state, transferred to a state, or you're going overseas, you don't want to sell your guns. It's illegal in New Jersey to leave them with somebody.
Right? Yeah, can't leave them.
We had a question too from on Andrew. He said, with your new sponsor being gun sitters, it got me thinking about scenarios in which to use them. One that I thought about, although I hope not to have to use in case of my death, my question is, if in my will I chose to leave all my firearms to my son, but he is not of legal age at the time of my death, would I be able to leave a portion of my estate to gun sitters to cover the cost of storage of those firearms until my son is able to take possession? Thank you, guys, and Merry Christmas. Andrew. Eric Rebels from Gun Sitters said, yes, this is not only possible, it's totally legal, and they are holding firearms for two estates right now. So wow. That's not something I never even thought about.
I never did either.
You know, so you can...
We try not to think about dying at our age.
I know, but when you're writing your will, if you have young kids, you might want to say that if I pass, Gun Sitters takes my guns and they have an X amount of money until my kids become a legal age and they can take them. This way they don't end up at a $50 buyback or for free.
Right.
We all know what happens. People come and say, oh, yeah, my dad died. I brought the guns to the police department. And
it happens all the time. My wife is in home health care and hospice, and in the hospice, they die all the time. And typically what happens is they'll either call the police department. I said, try to let them know to call you. You could call me, and I could call Anthony, and we could just go buy these
guns. So gunsitters.com, either Eric or Vin will be coming in a week or two. They want to talk about how a lot of guns get in the hands of people illegally because of estates when somebody dies.
Right.
And a nephew or a kid who might have problems gets his hands on dad's guns. They're going to come in and talk about those options. Go ahead, you guys talk about. So Darren, you were working the NRA national level. Scott was working at the state level, and we bombarded the county, the chairman of the law and public safety. He got bombarded. People were telling
all
me they
committee
were
members.
All committee members,
and the sponsor.
Yeah, but the chairman, his
who's
secretary.
Who's the chairman now?
What was his
name?
It's
Benson, Dan Benson.
Okay.
His secretary is picking up the phone and going, "We don't have anything to do with this. We're just voting on it on Monday, because they don't know what's going on." And she's like, "Well, you should be happy. We're making ranges safer for you." That was the response.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're making ranges safer. But I know that a lot of people were calling, and they said that there was guys and girls picking up at the legislators' offices, and they were starting to get testy. Because I guess, you answer 5,000 phone calls in a day.
And you can't get anything else done.
Yeah, you obviously can't get anything else done, and you're listening to people's opinions.
It's interrupting your coffee break, your union break, your lunch. And then when you come back from lunch, you need another break because that's what happens at this
stage. It's interesting. I want to thank the entire community for rising up like this. Mm. And we're going to have to do it again.
And again, and again.
And just because Trump is in, you remember, there's that shirt that says, God bless America, except New Jersey. F New Jersey.
Wait
right?
a minute. Let me just say.
Go ahead.
Okay. There's a lot of, New Jersey is going to be ground zero, okay, because there's a lot of frustrated anti-gunners out there, and New Jersey is one of the only places where they have a foothold.
Yes.
We better be prepared for massive attacks on a sustained basis because they're going to vent on us.
They're already touting about their wins from last year in states like Wisconsin and New Jersey and California, these tiny little wins, but it's energizing them, and when they get pissed off, they strike back, and they strike back. Like Scott is saying, this is low-hanging fruit.
Get ready.
Even without all of that, if you just look at from just the last year, I mean, this is probably the busiest. I mean, in 20 years of doing this, this is probably the busiest year I've ever had. And New Jersey there was not a quiet minute the entire year. We were going from domestic violence bills to smart gun bills. To this issue, I mean, it goes on and on how much legislation we had this year. And every single time there was a voting session, there was an override attempt, or there was one chamber passing a bill, or there were committee hearings. I mean, we literally had action in Trenton every other week for the
and
whole year.
And that's nothing, I mean, compared
including
to what's going to
happen. The summer.
Yes, all summer long. And it's nothing, which is very unusual.
Very.
So what's going to happen now when we get this anti-gun billionaire progressive as our mayor, who is basically
as our governor?
As our governor, what's going to happen then?
If he gets in, it's going to be a very unbelievably difficult time.
And we know that pretty much he's going to...
I already got a mail piece from him 3 months ago.
Who's that?
From Murphy.
Murphy.
And one of the planks right at the top was anti-gun.
Yeah.
Tax gun owners. Okay, I know he would undo everything Christie did.
Yes,
he says that.
I know he won't come on the show, but I know we have a bunch of Republicans that are lining up to run in the primary. So for all you listeners out there, if you have connections to any of the Republicans, they're more than welcome to come on the show at any time. I'm offering an open forum for them to come on. I would like to have them on individually, and then I'd like to have them all on together as the primaries proceed. Because maybe we can awaken the sleeping giant this time.
We should do that with a live studio audience.
We can do it with a live studio audience as well. And listen, if Murphy wants to come on the show, he's more than welcome to come on the show too. Any listeners out there that know him or can reach out to him, from now until the election in November, anybody who's running for governor in the state of New Jersey is more than welcome to come on the show. Please extend invitations to all of them. Talk back at Gun for Hire Radio, and we'll set it up, and we'll have them on. Good, guys. So continue talking about this fight. Obviously, we won a battle. We didn't win the war because it's still being they're still working on it, right? Go ahead, guys. Tell us what happened.
Okay, look, there is a backstory here, and I'll tell you. A day and a half after these alerts were launched, I got a call from Caputo and his staff, basically saying, "Would you please come in for a meeting with us immediately?" Now, I mean, just to set the stage for this, we had heard from the chairman of the Law and Public Safety Committee, who's actually, he's the best chairman we've had in a long time. The guy, listen, he's not pro-gun. He does what he's told to do, but he's cerebral. He cares. He has allowed vigorous debate where debate hasn't happened on gun bills before. Darren, you remember that time we had a two-hour debate on something that we knew what the vote was going to be, but they... Anyway,
and we had the timer. You know, were given 2 minutes to speak, and then then that was it. And at least now there's a little bit more flexibility.
He gave us a heads up in October that this bill is probably going to be moving this fall, and he asked us to evaluate it for him. So we sat down with him. We told him all the problems with the bill, and he said, you better talk with the sponsor. And so in early November, we did have a meeting with Caputo's office. We told him everything that we put in our alerts, we told him then, and his attitude was, okay, look, we're going to fix this. We'll get amendments before it moves. And what happened as this bill came up is the clock started to run out. We were getting close to the hearing date. We were saying, we're close to the hearing date. We're going to have to launch alerts. If there's not going to be enough time, you should put off the hearing date if you really want to make a meaningful impact. And they ignored us. They ran the clock out. They ignored us. We launched our alerts a day and a half later. I got a call from them.
Amazing.
Okay. Basically saying, you got to come in. We want to work with you on this bill. There's amendments in the hopper. Why didn't you wait? Well, we didn't wait because it was, you know, 3 business days before the hearing. And there comes a point, you know, listen, we've been down this road before.
Yeah.
We have legislators tell us we want to work with you, and then they don't. Now, I will say in fairness, my discussions with them, this is the most I've ever seen legislators try meaningfully to work with us, but they made a tactical error in launching their bill and leaving it, which forced us to put out our alerts. And now, you know, now the whole thing's happening under, you know, I mean, listen, I often say this is my opinion, I'm not speaking for NRA, but when you see ANJRPC put out an alert, I mean, 95% of what we do is behind the scenes, right?
Right.
When you see an alert comes out, it's a failure of diplomacy. Okay, most of what we do is done, we can never even talk about because it's, you know, I mean, we handle a lot of things behind the scenes. But so we launched our alerts. I get this call. Please come in the morning. I came in the morning. They're like, look, we're pulling the bill. We're pulling the bill, which, by the way, the day before we launched our alerts, I said, please pull the bill. No answer.
No answer at all.
Okay, the day after, like, oh, we're pulling the bill. We're pulling the bill. And so the bill's not going away. I mean, here's the bottom line. Is it's now also morphed into just more than a suicide prevention bill. They articulated another basis for it. They're now afraid that gang members and terrorists are going to show up at ranges and shoot the place
Seriously.
Up. Who's going to shoot up a range?
Come on.
I mean, how long are they?
Really, how stupid
okay,
is this?
So wait. So the, you know, their theory is, well, everyone who comes into a public range, it looks like, I mean, listen, it's hard to know where this is going to go, but it looks like they're going to try to respond to some of the things we've said. It looks like their target's going to be public ranges, and it looks like what they're going to be saying, and again, we don't know yet, there's no draft yet, but it looks like what they're going to be saying is, you know, you got to have, there'll be exceptions, but someone walks in off the street, they want them to have a credential to show. Now, they probably didn't consider, by the way, that law enforcement tracks people sometimes. And doing that actually might interfere with investigations.
We work with federal and state law enforcement agencies all the time. They contact us at the range. If this person comes in, please alert us.
Range owners get this all the time.
We've had people come in and they leave, and we get all the information. That happens. That happens.
So it might interfere with investigations, but you know, the notion that a gang member is going to get a new gun and is going to want to go practice with it as he holds his gun sideways,
yes,
or that a terrorist is going to go into, of all places, a gun range to wreak havoc.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, they want to go where people are defenseless.
Exactly.
So the bill's not going away. It's going to come back in another form as soon as late January, I predict.
It's Be prepared. Enjoy your Christmas, Bohica.
Not too many mass murders in police precincts. So.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
This right here has ability with a 30 caliber clip to disperse with 30 bullets within half a second. 30 magazine clip in half a second.
Crank it on, crank it up, let's go, crank it up, it's Gunfire Radio.
I checked back in your sales department, they're all out of 30 magazine clips.
Are they?
You should probably reorder them.
That shoot in a half a second.
They say shoot in half a second.
Without a gun.
Without
a clip.
Just the clip itself.
So this letter came from John Willett, who does the Bear Arms podcast that Scott was on last week to discuss this bill, because I was away. But he wrote a fun episode this week, brother. Wanted to write in about General Mattis. He has been revered by Marines for years now, particularly with his Mattisisms. Anyway, on the subject of him being Secretary of Defense, now they could change it to the Secretary of Chaos. He is an even better pick than some might think. The man is a warrior philosopher who is extremely well-read, which I know you value. You know, I have a Mattis joke. You know, General Mattis has a bearskin rug in his office. It's not dead. It's just too scared to move. Okay? And John Willett was jealous of Dylan's birthday party here, Matt's son, and he wants to know if Jimmy will plan a birthday party for him. John, you got it. Tell Rachel to contact us, and we'll plan your birthday party here. Darren,
yes.
What were you going to add to what Scott's been telling us? And again, I want to thank the two-way community, for everybody, for the uprising for this. I also want to thank the ANJRPC, NRA, everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of the other outlets. You know, the Range sent a mass email out. They took the ANJRPC alert without giving credit, by the way, sent it out to about 150,000 people.
You'll be hearing from our council about
that, by the way. Thank you. All the other ranges, RTSP and the other ranges, commercial ranges as well as private ranges, all sent out to their memberships as well as the email databases they had. We lit up Trenton this time. So I want to thank you. But again, get ready, January. Ainsley, get ready. I got the gloves and the umbrella. Get ready. We'll be in Trenton. And you know us, because I'm big and you're black, they're not going to let us in. We're going to have to stay outside and have our own rally while Scott and Darren are doing their job inside. Go ahead, Darren. Hit it.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that I was just going to that were takeaways and things to remember on this discussion we've had today. The one being, and Scott and I discussed this before, is typically they write a bad bill, then they'll come back with some amendment, and it's not because, you know, it's because it was bad in the first place. But then when our guys call the next, the next layer of activism, they say, well, did you see the amendment? Well, that fixes it all. You know, your problems are solved. So I'm telling people right now, do not fall for that, because like Scott said, this bill will be back. We will ask you to call again because it is not being fixed, and don't fall for that. So, and we'll give you the appropriate talking points to challenge them on at the time. We're obviously not giving them the entire laundry list of what's wrong with the bill now, because you know, we strategically want to keep a few things close to the vest. But for sure, I mean, they're going to come back and say these things were fixed. And there are a couple of things that were addressed, but by no means is it fixed. It's still a huge threat to ranges, in fact, to the point where it's going to put a lot of them out of business. The other takeaway from the discussion today would be on activism here in New Jersey. I read a lot of the stuff on social media. I've done this radio program. I've talked to people at the SAFE conference, run into people at New Jersey at annual meeting, out hunting here. Heck, I talked to a guy a couple weeks ago. I was out pheasant hunting. So every time I have a discussion with someone in New Jersey, you always get the sense of futility. In fact, on Facebook, they say, well, I fix things. I moved to Pennsylvania. I moved out of the state.
Yeah. Thanks.
And the thing about it is, I think examples like this and examples like the last election just give us encouragement to do one thing, and that's stand and fight. Because, you know, we showed we could get 4,000 people to, you know, light up the switchboard with 40,000 emails down in Trenton, and it had an outcome that we wanted, and that was to shut things down. So making those phone calls does matter, and I feel like we've come to a place in time where folks have seen Christie veto a lot of bills, and you know, I think they've said, oh well, we can't shut them down in the legislature, let's just let Christie veto them. Remember, he's not going to be there to veto legislation in the future. And this also disproves one of the other corollaries, and that is we can't stop things in the legislature. I mean, we just showed that if our guys unify with a strong voice and are active, we can make a change. So I would beg and plead with people to keep it up. And following on what Anthony said, I would thank them for the people who did call and go the extra mile. Now, the other thing is when we're looking at elections, you know, what's the takeaway here? Well, Hillary Clinton won this state, you know? I mean, your friends, your neighbors in New Jersey,
they all
said Hillary Clinton should be the president.
And now, overwhelming majority.
Now, what did we see, though, in this election? We saw states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. We saw states flip that had, for a long time, in the case of Wisconsin and Michigan, had always followed...
And Pennsylvania.
A Democrat. Now, you know, that to me says that people in New Jersey, if we have any hope here, it's that, A, we participate, but more importantly, you get out your neighbors, you get out your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we're never going to outnumber them. I mean, we are already a minority. We're a minority.
Right.
And so the only thing we can do is out-participate them, and that is precisely what this last presidential election demonstrated. So those are just a couple things that I think, things that can be taken away from current events and applied to New Jersey, they'd actually give us a high degree of hope here for the first time in a very long time.
That's encouraging. Amen.
It's like Darren is saying, it's not the numbers, it's the amount of noise. And for years, we've been buried by the noise in Hollywood, the anti-gun noise that's fed to producers. I produce a lot of video, and I work with a lot of radio and television. And the amount of money that comes in from outside sources to run, we will pay for your entire production, they say, as long as you add this to the storyline. And what producer is going to turn that down? I mean, it pulls profit immediately into the project. So we've been dealing with this stuff, and it's just the noise. We have to constantly fight a little harder. But I think what's happening right now, too, in New Jersey is, especially since a lot of the emails, I laugh at the faxes, but the gun owners in New Jersey are getting younger. A new breed is coming in. A new generation is coming in. And we, unfortunately, I'm speaking for Scott, Anthony, and myself, we're beaten down of all these years of just accepting what has been for the past 50 years in New Jersey, to the point that, we're in a sense brainwashed into, and it's just tired, where the younger group coming in is saying, well, wait a minute, this is bullshit, and they're doing something about it. And you can see that by the rise in social media and the power of social media. And that's what encourages me. And I know Anthony and I talk about this off air all the time. It is very encouraging that the younger groups are getting involved. There's a resurgence, especially here in New Jersey, of younger shooters coming in and women shooters. Mm-hmm. And they're outspoken. And that's exactly what we need.
The women and the minorities have been growing in leaps and bounds. And we get a lot of first-generation immigrants that come here, and mm-hmm. they come from these governments where only the military has guns. And when they get a taste of freedom, they light up. And there were so many people from different diverse backgrounds that were pissed off about this bill, because they're like, I bring my sister, and she's visiting from the Philippines, and I took her to shoot, and she loves the place, and now I won't be able to take her shooting. So they touched a lot of nerves here. And you're right, we are starting to see more and more people, younger people, get involved. Where, again, this affected the FUDs, this bill, too, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't hear too much amongst the FUD community about it. Very few people were even aware of it.
Scott, what did you hear?
Well, we, of course, work with the Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, and we have a close alliance with them, and we alerted them to this. They forwarded our alert to their entire membership and told them how it threatens hunting. I mean, it wasn't just Hunter Ed. It actually had a whole other impact on hunters.
Yeah, and I can tell you firsthand that with regard to the hunters, this is one of the areas that did make a pretty sizable difference, because a lot of the hunting preserves contacted and sent letters, because they actually generate a lot of revenue, whether it's people buying a six-pack of beer, a hotel room, paying our taxes.
Yeah.
They host these shoots, they host these hunts, charity events, etc. And they figured up how much money economically they added, and it was, I don't remember what the number was, but it was quite staggering. And I know that was coming from a lot of the hunting properties. So for once, it wasn't just the black gun people.
Right.
It wasn't just the carry people. This affected the whole community. And that's, what Scott's original alert said. This affects a broad spectrum of Second Amendment activity, from shooters to self-defense to hunting. Everybody in the community is affected by it.
I want to thank you guys for coming on the show. I want to thank our two-way community and everyone that rose up for it. Listen, there's no fake news on this show. We just make our own shit up, so it's not fake, because it's originally made up by us. Couple of classes we have. We don't have dates for Knappen next year for his gun law seminar, because he hasn't gotten back to us after 37 emails, 500 texts, and 600 phone calls. Abby Knappen, you listen to the show every week. Ask Dad to get us some dates for next year's gun law seminar. Class is coming up. Urban Pistol 1, 2, and 3. Urban Carbine 1, 2, and 3. Urban Shotgun 1 and 2. Holster Draw December 19th. Low Light, No Light February 13th. Medical classes, CPR, AED February 5th. Quick Clot February 12th. February 11th, Protective Cane. You want to check that out? And also, we have a seminar, Use of Force Seminar, January 23rd. 1, 2, 3, 17. Thank you, guys.
And the clock on the wall says you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. Remember, guys, Lipstick Bodyguard, if you want to get it for Christmas, you better do it now. This is the last week. Winston, say goodbye. We will see you guys next week. LipstickBodyguard.com.
see to go shine.